Welcome to the Compass Christian Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit us at compasslew.org.
Good morning, church. Morning. Today we are finishing up Matthew chapter 6. Made it to the end. Most Bible versions have chapter or section headings. As Paula mentioned, the ESV titles the section, Do Not Be Anxious. The NIV, Do Not Worry. The Amplified, The Cure for Anxiety. Growing up, teachings about the section had a focus on not being anxious or worried, which is a large part of this passage. However, I want to put emphasis on why we should not be anxious or worried. This leads us to today's topic of abundance. And just like the Bible versions have headings, commentaries often have section headings, which can help us spell out the main point or idea of a passage. Here are some commentary headings. The ZIBBC says, provider of the disciples' needs. The NIC is trusting your heavenly Father. Let's get into today's verses and learn more about God's abundance. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Oxford Dictionary defines abundance as a very large quantity of something. Now, it's not too specific, as there's a lot of somethings in the world. So when I say abundance, what comes to mind? Do you think of lots of money or someone wealthy? Someone with lots of time each day, like a retiree? Or someone with lots of time in their lifespan, like children? You probably also think lots of energy with children. Someone with lots of spirit, like a monk or a pastor. Someone with lots of power, like a CEO or a president. Someone with lots of joy. So what kind of abundance are we talking about in Matthew 6? Well, Matthew 6:25 starts with the word therefore. This is a connecting word that connects verse 25's concept with verse 24. We saw last week, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So it connects on to go, therefore I tell you, because you cannot serve God and money, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So why can't we serve both God and money, or that which we trust, as Will showed us last week? Will also shared a quote from R.T. France in the New Bible Commentary. The principle of materialism is an inevitable conflict with the kingship of God. That we can look at materialism as a power of the world. The ZIBBC also has this note. A well-known bumper sticker expresses the idolatry of the modern world. He who dies with the most toys wins. That is, life and the afterlife have no real meaning. So make it your ambition to play hard and find your worth in the materialism and pleasures of the world. Where our heart is where we put our trust. The world is trying to get us to divert our time away from God and to anything else, robbing us blind and enslaving us. Most of Jesus' audience here would have been Jewish, if not all of them. They would have been familiar with the law and this verse from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. If we want to be Jesus' disciples, we must have a particular attitude about material possessions. You cannot serve or trust God and also serve and put your trust in money or materialism. If we really want to be his disciples, we must value heavenly treasure more than earthly treasure. We must recognize that our hearts and our treasure, they go together. What you will eat, what you will drink, and what you will put on. Think about how much of your life revolve around this, how much we think about them each and every day. Everyone probably ate something this morning or drank something. And I'm so glad to see that everyone put on some clothes this morning. People spend more time thinking about what they are going to wear and dressing themselves than seeking God, prayer, or reading scripture. That is not right. Most people give more attention to material things than they do to spiritual things. Now, we need food, drink, and clothing. But Jesus is saying life is more than material things. Material things are necessary for us to survive, and I'm not saying that God does not care about those things. But Jesus is trying to tell us there's something more. Jesus is speaking to people who had daily struggles. Much of the time each day would have been spent gathering supplies to survive, which the poor today deal with heavily. The question of what one would eat tomorrow is very real. Now I want to clarify responsibility or planning and worry are not the same things. This reminds me of a joke of a guy stranded in the ocean. He's there praying for God to save him. A fishing boat comes by and asks if he needs help and a ride. He's like, no thanks. I'm waiting for God to come save me. So later on, a cruise ship comes by, asks if he needs help, needs a ride. Again, no thanks. God's going to come save me. Eventually, he drowns, and he reaches the pearly gates and asks the angel, why didn't God come to save me? And the angel asks him why he didn't let the people God sent save him. The point is, sitting and doing nothing every single day, or spending all your money, YOLO, is not the worry-free life Jesus is calling us to. We are called to be stewards of God's things. What if I'm over 3,000 miles on my oil change? Or more like 5 to 7,000 of today's synthetic oil? Do I not plan to take my car in and get the maintenance done, get the oil changed? And that is being responsible. But worry is totally different. It frets over things. It has its peace disturbed. You lose sleep over worry. Oftentimes, we will excuse worry and categorize it as us being responsible. And I know, I at least do not always know where that fine line is between worry and responsibility. God is always listening and is able to help. Ultimately, the message is to have more concern about spiritual things and less concern about material things. By doing this, it will free us from most of the torrent of worry. So, where's all this abundance I told you we would be talking about? I'm glad you asked. Jesus does not stop there. He does not tell us not to worry and then moves right on. I mean, we could have asked why, and he's responsible, because I told you so. He knows it is harder than just saying, don't worry. He further goes on to give us examples. See the love behind what Jesus is saying. It's not just telling us what to do, but why do it, the heart behind it. This is similar to what we saw earlier in the series with the law. It is not just for us to obey, but to share God's heart, following Jesus together. You might have heard that before. It is Compass's motto. Let's look at these examples starting in verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? I count three reasons why not to worry. First, from verse 26, when Jesus says, look at the birds of the air, your heavenly Father feeds them. Who here looked outside this morning and saw famished, starving birds? Anyone? Anyone? Barely able to fly or move because they do not have enough to eat? No. Now they might be hungry. I see them pecking all over the ground, but not lacking in food. I see just how fat the robins are. God provides food for the birds. What do you think he will do for his children? There is more than enough. There is an abundance. Louisville is actually on a bird migration route, if you didn't know. It is part of the Mississippi Flyover, which is one of the four main flyovers in North America. And Louisville is a common stopping point. Every year, in spring and fall, millions and millions of birds come through. Most come through the night, but around the northeast side of Interstate 265, I have seen them black out the sky, similar to this AI-generated image. They will sit shoulder to shoulder for miles on the electrical cables. It is a crazy number of birds. And guess what? They all get fed. And not just enough to survive to the next day. They get fed enough to migrate and fly thousands of miles. Sometimes we might think the birds have it better than us. Oh, what it would be like to have no concerns, food aplenty outside. But we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us, and we need to leave those concerns with him. We can pray, I'm releasing this concern to you, God, for I know it is your concern. Now, I do need to say, the birds certainly do not look to worry over food, but they definitely work for it. Adult birds do not just sit there, open their mouths up to heaven, and say, God, drop something down. They are working. Especially after the rain, I see them pecking all over the place, trying to get all the worms up for hours. I know there are times that I'm like, I am so beat and tired that 15 minutes to make supper, it's too much. Can't do it. So when we say we trust in God to provide, I'm not saying we do not need to work. I'm saying that we do not have to worry. The birds don't worry, but they certainly do work. The main point of verse 26 is, are you not of more value than they? If God feeds the birds, how much more will he do for his sons and daughters? If we understand that God loves us and cares for us, then we do not worry as much, for God's abundance is enough. The second reason why not to worry is found in verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Here, it is translated, hour is translated from the Greek word peihus, which is a form of measurement and is often translated as cubit in the Bible. Some other versions, like the King James, keeps it this way, and it reads, how can one's worry add a single cubit to their height? Regardless of which way it's translated, the message is the same. What can worry do? Can I worry so much that I grow taller or live longer?
Nope.
No. Worry, which often leads to stress, actually would do the opposite. Lots of stress has been proven to cause ulcers and other health problems, often shortening our lives. So we see at first, Jesus points out that we have a Father in heaven who loves and cares for us more than he does for the birds. God has abundance. Then he follows up with, worry is useless. You're not going to help yourself at all with all the worry, so give it up. The third reason why to not worry is found in verse 28. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Has anyone seen a flower worry? Have you seen one just sitting there trembling, worried that whether it's going to rain or not? No. Even the verse says they neither toil nor spin, but they still grow. Verse 30 says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field. Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount on a hillside near the Sea of Galilee. Here's a photo from the ZIBBC commentary showing spring wildflowers on the hillside of the Sea of Galilee. I can picture Jesus just motioning, look, look, look at the grass around you. Well, God thought this grass was kind of naked, kind of plain. Why don't I clothe it with some beautiful flowers? And Jesus is saying, look at the beauty of those flowers. They are more beautiful than anything you can put on yourself as far as clothing goes, even greater than King Solomon. What he says is, if God takes care of the grass and the flowers that will be cut and burned the next day, how much more will he take care of us? Then at the end of verse 30, do you catch what Jesus said? O you of little faith. Those who cannot have practical trust in God's care and provision are of little faith. Charles Spurgeon was an English Baptist preacher of the 19th century. Charles is widely known and has even been called the Prince of Preachers. A statement he is known for, little faith is not a little fault. What he means by a statement is having faith is important. A small amount of faith is not a sign of weakness or deficiency, as we all have a starting point. It is not a fault to be ashamed of or a reason to despair. It is a beginning. It is a seed that we can develop over time into something more. Charles encouraged those with little faith to continue seeking God's guidance, strengthening their belief, and working towards greater faith. To meet God where you are at. A little faith, yes, is less than great faith, yet it can still lead to positive outcomes and blessings from God. Don't let it stop from you growing. Charles does go on to state that staying with little faith is totally different. He states, little faith learn better manners. Showing manners like saying please and thank you is showing respect to someone. Charles is saying that by only having a little faith and being like, I'm fine with that, it's enough for salvation, why do I need more? Is showing bad manners or disrespect to God. When material things have too big of a place in our lives, when we are too concerned about what we eat, what we drink, where, drive, work, where we live, when these things define who we are and how much value we have in the world, then we are going to worry over those things. We need to have the right mindset with a light touch on material things and a stronger grasp on spiritual things. Jesus goes on to verse 32, for the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. The Gentiles, those lacking in God's values, the pagans, they run after these things. The rat race, slaving away working so that I can have my sufficiency met, can do what I want. Climb the ladder to get as much power as I can. Be the envy of your friends with all that you have and all the places in the world that you visit. Here the emphasis is on those who operate outside of God's values doing what? They are anxious for what they eat, what they drink, what they wear. But we, those with faith in God's provision, will not worry, and we will reject the pursuits and values of the world. Do you ever feel like you're going the wrong way? Do you look around and wonder what you're doing wrong as your colleagues are getting promotions, your neighbor has a brand new top-of-line pickup truck, your friend never wears a dress, your colleagues have 3 vacation homes? It can be easy to feel like you're doing something wrong. Everyone else around you looks like they're being blessed, that they have more than you do. What happened to the abundance? We are using the wrong metric, the wrong ruler. We are using the world's standard of materialism. Jesus is contrasting here from what the pagans do to his disciples. If you are so focused on materialism, it is like you are a Gentile. You don't know God. We see in verse 33 what we should be doing instead. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Well, what are all these things Jesus is talking about? What you eat, what you drink, what you wear, the material concerns of life. You put the priority on seeking after God and his kingdom, and our Father will take care of us. For we have a loving and caring Heavenly Father who knows what we need, as we saw in verse 32. Now, just saying that you need to put a priority on the kingdom of God, putting another task on the list of stuff you have to do today and every day, in our overburdened and rushed schedules, that stresses you out, right? Here you are, working a job, trying to go to school, trying to raise a family, and Jesus is saying to add on top of that, seeking the kingdom of God. If that is how you're hearing this, then we misunderstand what Jesus is telling us for seeking the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not just another priority to add to your list to accomplish. It is something you let affect every priority in your life. We do everything in a godly way with love, care, patience, compassion, peace. We let that overarch everything in our lives. When I go to work in the morning, I want to seek your kingdom, God. When I go to school, I want to seek your kingdom, God. When I'm at home getting along, I want to seek your kingdom, God. It is something we let permeate our entire lives. We seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, I hope no one thought they should sell everything, run off, join a monastery, become a monk or a nun. That is not Jesus' message. We still require material things in our lives in order to survive. Think back to the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus is telling us to pray for our bread and that God cares about feeding us. Yet, Jesus also said, man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus is telling us that God has a place and role for material things in our lives. He just wants us to give more attention to the spiritual. If we are mainly concerned about what we eat, what we drink, wear, drive, work, where we live, if these are a main part of your life, do you know who else lives life this way? Animals. People are living life at the level of animals. Now, I do not say this to insult or offend anyone. It is to get us to think. Animals do not have a spiritual life, or at least one that we can detect. Think about your dog. What concerns your dog each day? Sleeping, eating, drinking, going to the restroom, barking, playing, seeing what the girl dogs in the neighborhood are doing. That is, in essence, the existence of your dog. Squill! I had to throw in this AI-generated photo for May the 4th. Couldn't let Will have all of it. But how many people live life at the level of animals? God made us, men and women, in the image of himself to live for something higher. Do we need to eat, drink, and clothe ourselves? Absolutely we do. But that should not be the purpose of our lives. We live for something higher. We live for something spiritual and connect with God at that level. Now, Jesus does not only tell us to stop worrying. He told us to replace that worry with a pursuit of the kingdom of God. If we put God's kingdom first and live our lives more than just what we eat and drink and the clothes we put on our backs, then God will take care of us and even guide us to an even higher and better kind of life. That sounds like some abundance. It's just not the abundance that the world is trying to tell us to look at. Now, have you met someone who worries about everything? They are a worrier and just cannot help themselves. Maybe that is you. Well, Jesus had one more verse that I think directly talks to these kinds of people. Verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So if you absolutely must worry, this verse is telling us only worry about the stuff for today. I'm not going to worry about anything from the past. What can I do about that? I'm not going to worry about anything in the future. What good is that? If you feel you must worry, then only worry about today. Live for now. Do you realize that will wipe out about 90% of your worry? Today has enough worry without adding the past or the future. Today is its own trouble. This is what Jesus tells us to do. Not to live in the past, not to live in the future. To live in the present and to trust God today and to be freed from the torment of worry. For God can supply more than we can ever need. We have a Heavenly Father who loves and cares for us. And we do not need to focus on material things because God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, says there will be enough. It is His concern, and He has more supply than we will ever need. In the realm of God's kingdom, there is enough for everyone and abundance. So we do not need to worry, and we can be generous with what God has given us. Our time, our attention, our skills, and our finances. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for how great of a Father you are. How big of a Father. That we can come to you with all of our cares and worries and cast them to you. For your shoulders are broad, for they are strong enough to withhold anything that we have. That we can seek our sufficiency from you, for the abundance comes from you, God. I thank you for how we can just shine as lights in this world, set apart, showing and being an example for those living outside of this world, not looking to it to be our standard. For you, God, you are our standard. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done and accomplished for us, for everything that you did in sending your Son. We thank you for the Spirit that we have, for that we can walk hand in hand with you, God, knowing that you will be our sufficiency and abundance this day and every day forward. In the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Compass Christian Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. For more information on how we are striving to follow Jesus together here in Louisville, Kentucky, check out our website, compasslou.org, where you can subscribe to our newsletter and view additional resources.